week, we began talking about how in 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a problem. And we talked about how Elisha has been having lots of problems. And a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I talked about how double the problems led to double the miracles in Elisha's life. And then we talked about how later on down the road, here he gets back and maybe like us says, "Oh Lord, what are you going to do now?" And some guy with good intention goes out into a field, grabs some stuff to make the stew, and they start eating the stew, and there is poison in the stew. And Elisha immediately got up, jumped up, and they took some flour, put it in the pot, and the stew was healed. So I said, sometimes we think about sin. And sin is a poison to a church. It will destroy a church. And I said, maybe there's poison in our pew, right? And as I was thinking about that this week, and I had this on my mind all week, and as I'm looking and reading and kind of planning and thinking about things, I saw an article that popped up, and I was reminded of something. And the article that popped up said that in Africa, there's been a problem with Ebola. Do you remember when Ebola was really, really big, and we were worried about it coming to the United States, and when you went into the doctor's office on the wall, it was, if you've been to another country, tell the physician, and remember that? And I know it's still a big deal, and we think about these things, and we see them on the news every once in a while, but I noticed that it was becoming a problem over in Africa again, and it's a serious problem. It's a big problem. But when you begin to read about the tremendous spread and what was going on over in Africa, you understand that a lot of that, they had to educate the people of that culture and how the disease was being spread and what they could do to slow and stop the spread of the disease. I know personally, in my life, I don't want to be near death. I don't enjoy death. And if so, you know, just get me out of the room. I can kill a fly and, you know, flick them in the garbage. And I can take care of the mouse, but don't get too excited about death. And we know that death carries disease. And sometimes if we find a dead bird or a dead rabbit or something in their backyard, or we got to take care of it properly, because we know that that's how disease spreads. And I don't know if you've watched, as the Ebola virus spreads, one of the big problems is that in a funeral, the people throw themselves on this dead body as part of their mourning ritual. And they'll hug and cry and weep over this dead body for their loss and their mourning. But what does that do? Spreads the disease. And one of the big things that really put a halt to that was when they went in, they educated the people and said, you're going to make things, and that's a sensitive issue, because it's part of their mourning process. And they had to go carefully about that, because they were going to completely change some of these people's culture and the way they did things and the way they've done things forever. And so I think about us in the church. We believe that when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you get new life in Christ. Amen. You have eternal life. I love the way Ephesians 2 puts it. You know, you want to talk about being born again and new life in Christ? You go to Ephesians 2 where it says, you hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. And now here we are. And I hope that as I'm talking to this church today, that many of you, the majority of you, have found new life in Christ. I hope that's the case. And if you don't know what I'm talking about with new life in Christ today, I encourage you before you leave today, find out what I'm talking about. Amen. And become and know what it means. But when I think about this, we have new life in Christ. We're supposed to be different than the world, set apart from the world. And I know that we are going to have to go out and witness to and interact with and be a light in the dark world. But why would we, like these people, embrace, pour over, mourn for the sin that we've left behind? The thing that leads to death and destruction. I think it's very, very important that we, as believers, we be set apart from sin. That we leave the thing that brought us, sin left us so close to hell. You understand that, right? For the wages of sin is death. But only by the grace of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sin was a very, very dangerous poison, and it got every single one of us in this world very, very close to eternity in hell. Except for the grace of God. And the salvation and through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His precious blood that He shed on the cross. So I think it's important that we try to push sin away. Don't run back to it. Don't run back to the world. Get it as far away from us as we can. And let's run to the Savior. Let's look for a God who has an antidote to the poison that we have. I think I kind of want to review what we talked about last week. We were talking about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4. He leapt into action. And when we see somebody that we know is stuck in sin, or we see somebody who's close to hell, we need to, like Elisha, leap into action. Let the Holy Spirit guide us and be sensitive to His calling. And do what He would have us to do. And I said last week, Elisha got some flour. Nothing special, nothing magical about the flour. There's not some special flour that you can go and pick and it will purify your soup. But if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, God can allow us to find normal, everyday, ordinary things to help us reach out to a lost and dying world. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and look for ways where we can share the gospel and make a difference in people's lives. Last week I left off by reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, and where it gave a list of the poisons that could destroy a church, that could destroy your life. And today I'd like to begin by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 13 to 15, we see here that as we think about what can destroy our life, destroy our church, destroy our family, the poison that could set in, we have an adversary who wants to do deceitful things. and he's going to try and sneak his way in and work that poison into the church, into your family, into your life. So we need to be making sure that we're taking care of ourselves. When, if you think about it, if you are not healthy and you are sick, it's probably not a good idea for you to go and drink a bottle of poison, right? Why would you do that? Why does a sinner whose life is falling apart fill their life with things that are just going to destroy them more and just add to sin over and over and over again? Today in Sunday school, it seems like I always relate Sunday school into this, but we are talking about how sin is addictive. And sin will just snowball. And for a Christian who is allowing the poison of sin to enter their life, sin will just snowball and keep coming and keep coming, and the devil will just try to work his way in, and we need to make sure that we are doing things to change that. One of the things that I have found is there's that little saying, and these usually these little sayings have a little bit of truth to them. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Let me tell you, I try to eat an apple every day. And it feels really good. You fill your body with fruits and vegetables, get yourself some exercise. That helps. It really does things that will help you. And so it's important. I know when I was younger, I wanted, still today, I would like to eat Reese's peanut butter cups all the time. Right? I would love to do that. Drink soda at every meal. That would be great. But you know what? I find that when I eat just a little too much sugar or potato chips or something, it affects me pretty quick. And it's important spiritually that we are filling ourselves with good things. There's truth to that song, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. But read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. So, first thing I want to talk about is how to destroy a church. We've been looking at that, the list of poisons. We have an adversary who wants to destroy the church. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at how that adversary would like to destroy the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verses 14 to 19. It says there, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The devil will want to bring people in to destroy this church, to destroy your family, to destroy your life. And teaching lies and bringing sin in. And you know how we're going to keep that from happening? Study. Read the Word of God. If the devil brings in people who want to deceive the church, if we've got people reading the Bible and studying it for themselves on a daily basis, the devil's going to have a hard time doing that. We need to know the truth because we've applied that to our lives. We need to know and have our foundation be that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again for our sins. That's the ultimate antidote for the lie. Now, I'd like us to look at, and my goal today is to try and say, as we have these poisons that enter our life, we need biblical antidotes to face them. Things that we need to be applying to our life every day. Things that we need to help us. You know, if we were trying to prevent disease from spreading throughout the church, we might have a bottle of hand sanitizer in the back. We might tell people to wash their hands, wear a mask, take some medicine to prepare and inoculate people. As believers, we have an enemy who would like to do the same thing for us, and we need to be prepared with antidotes today. So the first antidote that I have for you is an antidote for the deceiver is the truth, right? We need to know the truth, and we need to have a foundation of the truth. And this is a big one for me, and it's something that I absolutely... There's that question. What is truth? And in John chapter 17, verse 17, we read these words. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We need to know the truth. We need to study it, and we need to be actively involved in making it a part of our life. If you back up to verse 15, it says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I know there's probably people here that have better stories of this than I've got. But I remember getting the chicken pox. I hated do you remember getting the chicken pox, right? And you wanted, how many of you guys wanted to, just like, I wasn't very good at that. And today I still wouldn't be very, when your mom was like, don't scratch and don't itch those things. And when they told me that my kids were going to get inoculated for the chicken pox and they weren't going to get them, I was just like, are you kidding me? Where was that when I had the chicken pox? As you look in the world around you, there are a lot worse things than chicken pox. And just like scratching a chicken pox, and it's so hard to keep from doing it, the temptations and things that are out there that people go through, that face, that you faced when you were a kid, that the children growing up today are going to face, they're so much worse and so much harder to stay away from and harder to scratch that itch than the chicken pox. And there's an inoculation to that. They're going to be in the world when you keep them from the evil one. You remember with the chicken pox, when you had a kid that didn't have the chicken pox, but their brother or sister did? Remember sticking them in the bed or having them play together or share their food, so they'd get the chicken pox, so they get it over with. We've got to let our children go into the world. But we need to inoculate them. We need to get them prepared with the truth. They're going to be in the world. a world that wants to destroy them, deceive them. But we need to sanctify them, set them apart to the truth of the Word of God. And that's so important. Kids need to hear the Bible. They need to learn the Bible. We have our Awana program. Kids need to be coming out to Awana program. And one of the greatest ministries that you could have is to be passing on the legacy of the Word of God to children. And I'm so glad that I get to teach Bible class at school every day. Because I think that if I didn't have that every day, that's one thing that I'm missing. Is I'm missing teaching kids at Awana's every week, doing the council time with them. I'm missing that right now. Passing that on to kids and teaching them the Word of God. And I look for every opportunity to do that and to teach them. But if you've got a child, get them reading the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. There's another thing that the devil would like to deceive and to use to destroy. And that's hatred, sin, anger, being someone who will not let go and being unforgiving. And an antidote to the hatred in our heart and the ability to not let go and forgive, an antidote is forgiveness, both given and received. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If you want something that will destroy your life, hold bitterness and not be able to forgive someone who has wronged you. A big antidote for something that will destroy our lives is to be someone who is able to forgive. Both us receiving it, when we let that burden off of our heart, and giving forgiveness. And so I ask you today, is there someone in your life, someone that you have been unable to forgive? Remember that it's Christ who forgave you of the very wicked deeds that you have done. And now you have someone in your life that you are unable to forgive. It will destroy you. It will hurt you. And as Christ forgave you, so you need to forgive others. So I'd just like you to think, is there somebody that you can't forgive? Just like, you know, washing your hands and cleaning up is a very important part of making sure that we're clean. We need to make sure that we are willing to forgive others. Another antidote that I'd like us to consider and to think about today, and something that we need, is genuine repentance. We need to repent. Let's turn over our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We read this morning in our responsive scripture reading. And I thought this really fit well today, as we saw this passage of scripture. And as we read this We read in Luke 5, 31 and 32, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when I think about this, I think about the person who is living in sin and heading the wrong direction in their life. They need true repentance. And the word repentance, I like to visualize things. I don't like to just give a definition, but I like us to have a picture. Repentance is you are walking the wrong direction towards a cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff is destruction. Repentance is to realize that you are walking the wrong way. Stop, turn around, and run as fast as you can to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is. True repentance. And as we talk about this, I'm trying to put this back to real life. And when I was working at camp and teaching school and working on the house and staying up all kinds of hours, I lived on Coca-Cola. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd take a Coke and I'd drink the whole thing and I'd get home from school. I'd get to the middle of the day and I was so exhausted. I was so exhausted. And I was doing that and I just, there was some day, you know what? And one day I said, no, I'm done with this. Like, I've just been drinking so much and it just kept me going like all day, all night. And I said, I'm done. And I stopped drinking that. And I said, I'm just gonna go straight to water. Like, just be done with it. And for years, like, I gave that up completely. I felt so much better. And I stopped and I said, I'm going to switch. I'm just going to drink water. And it completely changed my health. And that's an example of changing something in your life. And I'm not saying that drinking, please don't go home. If you went home today and you think, I've got to stop drinking soda, that's bad for me. And you totally missed the point. Because my point is that if you have sin in your life and it's there and it's there and it's there, it's something you do every day and you know it's wrong and you know that it's leading you towards destruction, it's hurt, and you need to acknowledge that that sin is hurting you. It's harming you. And you need to say today, I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn around. And I'm going to do something different. As I'm talking today, and I'm thinking about what I'm talking about, the process which I'm looking at for you as the believer here sitting in a pew, is sanctification. God setting you apart in this world for a special purpose. And if you want to be set apart and clean and pure and have all the poison of sin in the world out, you need the truth. You need to read the truth. You need to know the truth. You need to live the truth. You need forgiveness. You need to accept it from Jesus Christ and others, and you need to give it to those people who need it. And you need repentance. You need to say, this is wrong. I need to stop, and I need to do things that are honoring and glorifying to Jesus Christ. If you do those things, you'll see a change, and you'll see your spiritual health take off. And also, an antidote is wisdom. Wisdom that comes from above. So as we face the world and as we face things and decisions in this life, we need to go to a God who will help us and will give us the answers in this life. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Hebrews, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, I read these words. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So in our lives, we need to go to God. We need to say to God, God, you need to help me. You need to give me wisdom. You need the fruit of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit to be in my life. And just like someone who is looking for good health and to conquer poison that has entered their life, they ought to be eating fruits and vegetables. We need the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We need these things in our life. We need to get rid of the sin. We need to get rid of the poison and begin to fill our life with things that are good. We need an antidote for the evil. And we've looked at and we've seen so many things this morning that will help us to be able to get the poison out and to make a change, a real positive change. You know, I think about the story that we started with, 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha had all these problems. There was famine in the land. This guy thought he was going to do something good, went out and made some stew. They came back and they tested it and they tried it and they said, this is poison. This is not good. Elisha jumped up, said, get some flour. Let's put some flour in there. And they stirred it up. You know what happened? They had to eat the stew. Right? I don't know about you, but look, listen to this. If somebody said, this is poisonous, this would kill you, and some guy comes along and he says, okay, give me some flour, and he puts that in there and stirs it up, would you eat the stew? Right? No way. What do you just do? I'll give you a lot of things to think about today. Right? You need the truth. You need to forgive. You need to repent. And you need to have the fruit of the Spirit, godly wisdom in your life. It will work. It will defeat the poison in your life. But you got to eat the stew. This antidote that I've given you today, that I've prepared and we mixed up, if you're going to make it, it's going to make a difference in your life, you got to eat the stew. You got to have faith that these things will make a difference. Because if you came here today and you said, yeah, I got problems in my life. I got sin. I got and if you hear what I said and you don't put it into practice, guess what? The enemy, the deceiver, still wins because he's getting in there and he's just putting that poison down in. But if you want victory, you want healing, true spiritual healing, take these things and put them into practice. Don't be the person who hears but doesn't do. Take a look at your life in the mirror. Say, yeah, these things can make a difference. And put them into practice. Let's pray. God, we need faith. that if we take these things that we've talked about today and we put them into practice in our lives, that we will see spiritual health, spiritual healing. Lord, I don't know who's here and what's going on and how your Holy Spirit is working on their life today. But Lord, maybe there's somebody here, and I have no idea who. But Lord, they're being deceived by the devil into believing something that's not true. Help them to dive into your word and know the truth. Maybe there's somebody here today who can't forgive. Help them to forgive. Maybe there's somebody here who's sinning and they're just walking towards the edge. Help them to repent. And maybe there's somebody here who needs wisdom from on high on how to do what's right. Help them to come to you for godly wisdom and righteousness. Lord, I pray that you might help us to take this antidote for spiritual success and to eat the stew, to take this and apply it to our lives. Not just hear it, but to do it and to live it. Might it make a difference in our heart? Help us to be sanctified, set apart from a dead, lost, and dying world. I thank you for new life in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.